It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Alan Gervey, and Kerry is laughing at me right now because I pumped my fist in the air when they said, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem.
I wanted to go, woo, 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 woo.
I am Alan Gervey, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn, which, as you all know, is the number one workers' compensation law firm in the world. And if you want to talk to me or any of my associates over at our firm, just call us at 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or visit us on the web at rgwlawfirm.com, rgwlawfirm.com. If you want personal service, if you have been injured on the job, you want the best, just call. There, how was that for an ad? I feel that was an infomercial.
It was a bit of an infomercial.
A bit of one.
But you know what? That's why you're on the radio. Not only do we do a great radio show, you know, you're a great lawyer.
I am.
And you help people. And
I,
you know,
help
what?
People.
You know what? You care. And that makes all the
and
difference.
And I don't think much of myself either. I'm not arrogant or I'm not... Actually, I am.
A little bit.
That's what you need out of a lawyer.
Yeah.
You need someone who goes in and every time I go into court, I believe and know that I'm going to win. And if I'm not going to win, I'm going to start pounding my fists and crying like a baby.
I had two lawyers who weren't sure and who... I mean, this big, big, big firm across the country, big firm.
Wow.
Who, you know, weren't sure... who had to keep consulting people and who kept taking our money, and I kept begging my family to get away from them. And, you know, we lost. I'm not going to say what case. I'm not going to say when this was. But it was a while ago. And, yeah, it doesn't matter how big or how much you're paying. If your lawyers aren't sure they're going to win or they're not behind your back or you feel like they're not go-getters, get the hell out of their office.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You need passion. This is passion. We are turning negatives into positives right here on Gervey's Law on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And you know what, Kerry? I found out right before we went on the air, I was talking to our resident psychiatrist who will be with us shortly in the second half hour, Dr. John Stahlberg. He said that Alan Gervey had something in common with your father, Casey Kasem. Do you know what it is?
Well, we're both doing radio here. You're on radio. My dad was on radio.
I never thought of it that way. But let me tell you what it is.
Tell me.
There was something else we had in common. Your dad was on The Dating Game.
Yeah, he was.
And so was I.
No way.
Yeah, I was.
Are you guys... Wait.
So
when were you on?
I was not one of the three men that was with your dad. I heard Bill Dana, actually... do you know who Bill Dana is?
No, he's the one who won. My dad lost.
Yeah, Bill Dana won. He's the guy that says, my name, Jose Jimenez.
Right, he
was a comedian and a writer way back when. I was not on that panel, and he was on with Jim Lang. And apparently Jim Lang called your dad Casey Kasem.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, we still get our last name mispronounced all the time. Like, even though my dad, you know, has been out there, it's Kasem, and it's always with two S's or with a C.
How do they pronounce his name in Norwegian? I will talk about that.
I was going to say something very morbid, but I'm not going
don't
to do it.
Don't say it morbidly.
I'm not going to. So wait, did you win?
Okay, so this is what happened. I was bachelor number two,
okay. And
I was chosen. They said, and the winner is bachelor number two. So the young woman who chose me, her name is Annette Sinclair. This was some time ago. And we won a dream date to Puerto Vallarta. And I was so excited. I was a young actor at the time, and I hadn't gone to law school. And I was so thrilled to be picked by Annette Sinclair, who was an actress, model, or whatever.
Yeah.
And on the day of our trip, that morning, she called me up. We were going to the beautiful Puerto Vallarta,
yeah.
And she said, I can't go. And I said, what?
Could you go by yourself, or was it, did you have to go with her?
Well, I said to her, I wanted to go with her. I mean, she was smoking hot.
Okay.
And I was like, you have to go. And she said, well, I spoke to my boyfriend, the guy that I'm dating, and he won't let me go. And I'm going, what? I said, I don't care who he is, but I can take him. I'm much better looking,
no,
and I'm going to be a lawyer, and I'm going to be on Talk Radio 790 KVC. And she said, well, he's actually on tour now. And I said, tour? What is he at, Universal Studios? He's a tour guide? I'm going to be a lawyer. And she said, well, have you ever heard of the Silver Bullet Band?
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, yeah. He says, well, it's actually Bob Seger.
No.
Yes.
No.
And I was
she
like,
she was dating Bob Seger.
Exactly. And Bob Seger found out that she won a dream date to Puerto Vallarta with Alan Gervie, and he said, no way. You go with that stud, and you will never marry me. So she canceled
exactly
the trip.
That's exactly what he said.
She canceled the trip, and they got married. Because of me, they got married. And in fact, funny was, I was listening to KLOS about... 6 months later, I'm listening to KLOS, and they said, Bob Seger got married to some girl, we don't know her name, and I'm screaming at the radio in my car, and that's Sinclair, that's my dream date from the dating game.
Okay, are they still together?
They lasted about a year. Mm. She actually did, maybe 2 years, she actually did one of his videos at the time. She was one of the hot girls.
I gotta look this girl up.
Yeah, Annette Sinclair, and then they got divorced, so I don't ever know, I never found out what happened to good old Annette, but that's my dating game experience. And I'll tell you, I know your father didn't win because Bill Dana did, and
right,
he missed the dream date. And everyone always asks me what happened to the date, and I have to tell them that I actually went with someone else. They gave me the trip.
Oh, you did get to go.
I had to go with a woman who wasn't my relative or family member. So I asked about 7 or 8 girls, and finally someone said, yeah, I'll go. And they went with me, and we had a chaperone. I found out what room the chaperone was in, and at the resort, I charged all the drinks and all the food to the chaperone's room, and
no one knew.
I was everyone's best friend at that resort.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I did it. Oh my gosh.
Okay, Annette Sinclair is gorgeous.
Yes, she is.
Gorgeous. No, she really is. I can see why she didn't go out with you and she'd pick Bob Seger.
I don't know about that.
I'm totally joking. No, I'm totally kidding, Alan. But she's hot.
All right. Let's talk about the show today as I'm watching the USC-Stanford game.
Well, you can watch, and I can tell you what I'm doing next week.
What are you doing next week?
I'm going to be on Howard Stern.
No way.
He's been calling me out for the last year and talking. You know, he's been very supportive, and so is Gary. Gary Delabate is awesome. He wrote a book, and he included my dad in it. He sent me the book. You know, as irreverent as Stern can be, he's been as reverent as I think he has ever been towards me the times I've been on his show. And I said, okay, I'm going to be in New York anyways. I'm doing Fox and Friends Wednesday morning. So I'll be on Fox and Friends Wednesday morning. And I said, you know what? Why not? I'm going to head down to Stern on Tuesday and talk to him.
Finally, after all this time.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So are you afraid? Do you think he's going to say anything? He's going to start wanting to jump your bones or something?
Have you seen his wife?
What does she look like, Annette Sinclair?
She's gorgeous.
No, I know.
Gorgeous.
So,
but no,
I'm going to challenge you here. You have to, when you are on Howard Stern, you have to get in Gervie's Law. You have to talk about our show.
Okay.
We will not welcome you back next week. Everyone listen to Howard Stern on Wednesday morning, and Carrie's going to talk about things all about her life and her dad, and she's going to mention Gervie's Law.
Okay,
aren't
I
you?
Will. I will mention. I look if he asks me about what I'm doing and what I do. Sure, you know, I would like to get it in there.
You will.
I would like to get in the fact that I have been working for a very long time. I've been on the air since '97.
And you have to tell Howard you are a better disc jockey than he is, and you do the show called Gervie's Law, which actually has a lot more listeners and a more Facebook presence than any Howard Stern show.
Right. That's right. I'm going to tell Howard Stern that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We heard it here. We're going to hold you to it. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And Fox Family and Friends is a great show. So that'll be Wednesday. And Howard Stern's Tuesday. I think I said Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday is Howard Stern.
Tuesday's
Wednesday
Howard Stern.
Is Fox and Friends.
Okay, and what are you going to talk about?
I'm thinking, what am I going to wear?
What are you going to wear? You're on radio.
What?
On
I think
Howard
they take
Stern.
That. I think they take that, yeah. But Fox and Friends, I've got this great outfit. And Ted Baker, very excited right
now. So are they going to ask you about your dad and what condition he's in now?
No, we're going to only talk about Gervie's Law.
Okay, good. That's what I want to hear. And we're not going to talk about anything else. All right. So, unfortunately, tomorrow is Joan Rivers' funeral.
Okay, that's not, that just...
I know. That was a really horrible shock. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, you talk about a woman who was just groundbreaking for women. I mean, you know what it's like dealing, now things have changed, but back then, can you imagine being the personality, being the comedian, and being in kind of a man's world, and the way she stood up was very, very funny. And it's so sad, right at the end, when she was still as sharp as a tack and doing great work. And this is what happens.
She still had a huge career. Very few people at 81 years old have the career that Joan Rivers has had and continued to have. I mean, she's still touring. She's going to do a show with Sarah Silverman. She still had her E! Show. I'm writing books, doing... I saw a documentary. I was like an okay Joan fan. I didn't like her very much. I didn't hate her. I just was like, And then I saw a documentary on this woman and her work ethic and what she went through and how the tragedies in her life...
Yeah.
Were so immense.
Amazing.
She pushed through every single one of them.
I really adored her because I think that given what she had to go through in life and she made fun of herself. Anyone who can make fun of themselves, you know, is really something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the lines that she came up with, she made fun of people. Everything was in fun. And one of the things that people have asked me about is whether there might be a medical malpractice suit because, of course, she went in for the throat surgery and had cardiac arrest.
Yeah, it was elective, though. She didn't need to have this surgery. But she's 81 years old, and I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this wasn't done. This was an outpatient surgery.
Yes,
it was not done in a hospital.
You know, a lot of people don't know, but in my former life, when I was doing the dating game, I was also an attorney for a medical malpractice firm, and I actually represented hospitals. And people don't understand how really difficult it is to succeed in a medical malpractice case.
Right.
It's almost impossible. I mean, basically, you have to operate on the wrong leg in order to prevail in a medical malpractice case.
I'm sure she knew the risks.
Sign informed consent.
Right.
And I'll tell you, as a policy reason, do you think doctors would ever want to do surgery on someone if they knew they were going to be sued for a bad result? And I'm not defending these doctors because they could have been really crappy and they could have done a horrible job. But the way medical malpractice is set up right now and with the 250,000 micro cap that we talked about when we did the show on hot coffee, the fact of the matter is someone has to protect these doctors even if they screw up, because I'm not in favor of it. I mean, I think if they screw up, there should be recovery for it. But when things go wrong, it's just the way life is. And we have an incredible show today. You won't want to miss it. We're going to talk about stalking, and we're going to be talking about some very interesting legal cases that took place this week, and you want to hear them because I don't know what you think about them, but call us if you have an opinion. 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. You are listening to KBC Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Any person who makes a cause to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are back right here on Gervey's Law. I am Alan Gervey, and I am here with Casey Kasem's daughter, Carrie Kasem. She looked at me like, oh, man.
So crappy.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a few stories that took place this this week, and don't miss it, because in about 10 or 15 minutes, we're going to have Robert Bernstein on, and he's a wonderful, wonderful defense attorney for criminal law, and he's going to talk about stalking. He's a former prosecutor who worked under U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, and we're going to talk about stalking. We're going to talk to psychiatrist, our favorite guy, Dr. John Stahlberg, is going to be with us, and he has a show coming on at 4 o'clock today, which is about the Rebecca Schaefer murder, and of course, that was the result of stalking, and we're going to talk and hear some insight, and you don't want to miss that show. That's today at 4 o'clock, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. That, of course, was Robert John Bardo, who was the stalker. So, Carrie, I was looking at the news, and I see that in France, a man called and texted his ex 21,807 times.
That happened out here a couple of years ago with a woman who did that to her ex, and she got fined and thrown in jail.
Yeah, well, this guy got 10 months, and the reason why he did it was because he was upset that she didn't thank him for the improvements that he made in her apartment. I guess he fixed up the apartment a little bit. They broke up, and then she wouldn't return his call. All he wanted was a thank you. So instead of calling 5 times or 10 times or 20 times, he called 21,807 times, which includes some texting as well.
You know, at that point, you, I didn't even, how do you let somebody call you 21,000? After the thousandth time, I can't even speak today, why aren't you going to the police? I mean, weren't you saying I have a massive stalker problem here? There's something going on?
I think so. I mean, I don't understand.
21,000 times?
You know, I looked up can't take a hint in Wikipedia, and this guy's picture was there.
Wow.
It was awful. But, you know, he got 10 months, 6 months of which was suspended, and he was fined about $1,200.
That's it? It should be a dollar for every call.
So the message we have on this one is if someone doesn't call you back after the 20th time, first of all, you're a stalker, and you're going to have to listen to the rest of the show. And secondly, they don't want to talk to you.
It's so weird when I have girlfriends who do this. This doesn't happen with guys, but girlfriends will, and it's been a while, we've had this problem with one girlfriend, who will call, and it's like, obviously, they're not interested. And, oh, maybe he didn't get it. Do you think maybe it didn't go through? I mean, maybe he was out of town, or all these excuses, and continues to text or continues to call. And you say, somebody finally said to her at her work, and I'll never forget this, is, he has no interest in you at all. Otherwise, he would have returned your calls. And she came home, was so upset. So upset. Can you believe they said that to me?
It's a light bulb. It's going off. So there's this kid in South Carolina. The mother sued DMV because the 16-year-old boy was told that he had to take his makeup off for his driver's license picture.
He looks like a woman. I saw the picture. He does look like a young woman.
Chase Culpepper.
Yeah, and I guess if that's how he dresses all the time, and they make him take his makeup off.
So here's the legal question, because we're really talking about some really serious legal issues right now. Well, maybe not, but the question is, where do you draw the line? Because you have to look at both sides. When you do a debate, you have to look at both sides, and one of the sides is, you know, the DMV wants the picture to look like the person. I don't think you can go, you know, dressed up as a gorilla and have your DMV picture taken.
Right, right. But this is the thing. This boy, or transgender boy, dresses like that every day. He wears the makeup. So if he were to take his makeup off and, you know, make his hair less sexy, he's not going to look like he does every day. So I think they were trying to explain that to the DMV. This is what he does look like. He's not trying to take a photo not to look like himself.
And should we prohibit boys and men from wearing makeup?
If this person comes with half-shaved beard and they've got the makeup on and obviously they're just, you know, joking around and trying, you know.
Right.
trying to elude, you know, the law,
good
then
point.
Fine. But if this person is a transgender and that's the way they dress every day, you have no right to say anything to them. But I guess it's hard for the DMV to, I guess, figure that one out sometimes.
If you have had a problem with the DMV that you had makeup on and they asked you to take it off for your picture, call us. 800-222-5222. 800-222-5222. This is a real bothersome story. This one happened in North Dakota. 20-year-old Abby Slattern, S-L-A-T-T-E-N, was allegedly speeding and looking at Facebook at the same time. And she killed an 89-year-old passenger of a car ahead of her. She was driving 85 miles an hour, looking at Facebook pictures, and plowed into the car in front of her, killing the 89-year-old woman.
What happened to her?
Well, this just occurred. The accident happened on May 27th between Fargo and Grand Forks. And she's been charged with negligent homicide. The maximum sentence is 5 years. She appeared in court just on Wednesday and was released on her own recognizance. She allegedly claims to have no recollection of the accident at all.
Well, you don't when you hit somebody going that fast. You kind of wipe out that memory, really. Like a lot of times people say, I don't remember anything with any accident. So I kind of believe that, but I swear they need to do something to protect the roads with all these people on Facebook, texting, looking at Instagram, looking at things. I mean, we did a whole story on that woman who was driving down the road on a Saturday listening to I'm So Happy, da-da-da. Okay, now every time...
Pharrell Williams.
Yeah, the Pharrell Williams song. Every time I hear that, I have to turn it off because I think of this woman who texts, I get so happy every time I hear the happy song.
Right.
And smashed right into an oncoming semi
and
killed her.
And was dead.
Right after she sent the text.
You know, and the funny thing is she had been listening to the Weird Al Yankovic version, which is I'm So Handy. Maybe she would have been doing something
with
her hands that would have allowed her to continue to live.
Right.
You know, it's crazy, and you're a big Facebook proponent, and if you want to go to Carrie's Facebook page, you should do that, but not while you're driving.
No,
don't
please.
Look at what is so important in a picture. It's the same stuff. I have a friend who posts every day about her children, and they're doing a different activity every day. It's like we've seen it before. Don't drive and look at Facebook.
You know, Alan, when I had my BlackBerry a month ago, I can tell you, I did not sit there on Facebook and Instagram and all this social media fare that we've got going. I got so upset with my boyfriend because he's always in his iPhone nonstop. And I am like, pay attention to the present. I'm here with you. There are things outside. Look around. Be present. And I have now this iPhone. And I have to say, I think there's something wrong. You're constantly in it. I'm constantly, and then I get upset with myself, and I'm angry the fact that I just wasted 10 or 15 minutes on Facebook or Instagram when I would do it at night when I got home or in the morning for a little bit. Now I'm on it all the time.
So let's talk about the Apple Store and the store staff that invaded the privacy, apparently claimed by Eva Longoria. She says that there were staff people who actually found her phone number from the Apple, because we're talking Apple right now, and someone called her and said, I made a dress. I want to send it to you.
Yep. She said, I'm a big fan. I got your number. She asked, where'd you get my number? Oh, at the, you know, on your profile, and I made you a dress, and I just want to send it to you.
You know, I'll tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, obviously stalking, celebrity stalking. There's a lot of celebrity stalking that has taken place. And when Robert Bernstein joins us after the break and Dr. John Stahlberg will be talking about it. But we might bring up here Eva Longoria's claims as well as Jennifer Lawrence. We've read a lot about the nude photos that have apparently there is no privacy anymore, whether it's with your iPhone or otherwise, and we're going to talk about that. But really quickly, this is your favorite story, the knee defender story. The guy who was kicked off the flight because he brought these little mechanisms so that the woman in front of him could not recline her seat. He was a tall guy, and he didn't want the seat reclined, so he locked in his knee defenders, a mechanism, a device that is illegal on certain flights. And he was kicked off the flight.
You actually can buy these online. They're called knee defenders. You stick them on the seat in front of you. And most people think, he said that he didn't want to tell her not to recline her seat because most people think that the seat's broken and they don't ever do anything
right.
about it. Yeah.
But this time the woman got a little upset and threw her Sprite in his face and wrecked his $2,000 computer.
Ooh.
So, well, I don't know. That's an issue. Do you think a plane seat should recline or not?
No, they should. I mean, you know, to a certain extent. But, you know, if I had a big, big guy in the back of me, I'm not going to recline my seat. I'm not, because I'm a kind, nice person. If the guy was a jerk, I'd
recline
it all the way.
And if the guy was at a movie theater and he's 6'2 and he is a little person, does he expect to sit on the floor? I don't think so. We'll be right back after this. Don't miss it. We're going to talk about stocking right here on Gervie's Law.
ABC News has just learned that President Obama will give a speech next week detailing his strategy on going after ISIS terrorists in Syria and Iraq. Good thing for folks in Detroit that it's supposed to be in the 50s tonight, because more than 300,000 power customers have no AC and no lights, no juice at all after violent storms now headed east. Utility response, according to Randy Barris of DTE Energy.
Because of the number of down wires, it is a little slower going this time than the last major storm we had, which was just 2 weeks ago.
People from 300 homes were evacuated because of a brush fire that started last night just outside California's Yosemite National Park. Cal Fire spokeswoman Karen Knoyer.
The fire is burning in a steep, semi-inaccessible area in a river drainage.
Honda's recalling 126,000 motorcycles for a second time because their brakes can malfunction, potentially causing a crash or fire. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Still smoking? Good Vapor gets it. Switch to Vapor and never lose the sensation. Save money, smell great, and get your life back. Good Vapor is the only shop that offers a money-back guarantee. Find a Good Vapor shop near you or go to goodvaporshop.com.
Get news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the Fours.
Come on, let's hit the road!
Over here.
Radio 7.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
That's right. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am here with the lovely Carrie Kasem, who will be on Howard Stern on Tuesday morning, and Fox and Family on Wednesday. Don't miss
Fox
that.
Fox and Friends, Fox and Friends.
Well, they're my family. So we're going to talk a little about stocking. And, Carrie, you know, I haven't had a whole lot of experience about, you know, I have stalked people, but I haven't had a lot of stalkers stalking me. And the only experience I had was very, very strange. And I don't know if it was stalking or not. We'll ask Robert Bernstein, who we're going to talk to in a minute, what he defines as stalking. But I had a girl that I was dating, and I'd only been out with her twice. She'd never been to my apartment, which it was some years ago. And I came home one day, and my apartment was behind gates, and she actually had left 6 cookies on my doorstep. And I thought, oh, that's kind of weird. I don't even really know this person.
Mm.
I went to work. I just ignored it. Of course, I took the cookies to work and gave them to the people at work because I would never eat them. I don't eat anything that my clients or, anyone gives. No, it doesn't matter as long as I didn't eat them. And then I came home the next day, and there were different cookies left on my doorstep. First day it was sugar, then it was chocolate chip. Next day was peanut butter. Every time, 6 cookies of a different kind for a week. And I thought it would go away. It didn't go away. The cookies just kept coming. And finally, I approached her and I said, why are you leaving cookies? And how do you get into a gated apartment complex?
Not hard, first of all.
Apparently not. She didn't answer the question. I said, I want to tell you right now, it really freaked me out that you left cookies. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you ever again. It wasn't something that turned me on, but turned me off. And she got pissed at me, and she actually never left me another cookie.
Well, look at that. I had a semi... Well, I was a stalker, I'd say. Actually, I had to get the police involved. It was a guy who had seen me with the UFC and heard me on Howard Stern. This is the first time I did it. And this guy was so creepy. Pages and pages and pages of letters. And knew so much about me. Knew stuff that, unless he was listening to phone calls, I don't know how he got them. He had been in and out of jail and mental institutions, and this guy was, it was so creepy. And I finally said, I talked to my dad about it, and I said, Dad, we got to do something. This guy is not just a normal stalker. And we got the police involved, and thank God he was in another state. He was in Michigan. And he said he was coming out to see me, and that stopped. He had parole, and they said, if you contact me one more time, he's going back to jail. It stopped him. Never got another letter.
It's crazy. I mean, I looked on the internet and I found that every month, if you look at a celebrity, for instance, if we're talking about celebrity stalking, every month for the last year and a half, there's a different celebrity who's in the news with a stalker. Recently, Robin Roberts, Sandra Bullock, Miley Cyrus, Gwyneth Paltrow, Rihanna, Anderson Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer Lopez, Taylor Swift, Paula Abdul, and Paula Abdul was the one where the woman actually committed suicide in front of her house. These people are so creepy. And if you go back to where we defined stalking laws, back with Rebecca Schaefer, where unfortunately she was murdered by Robert John Bardo, who I think would qualify as a stalker. What has happened over the last 20 years has hopefully changed a little bit about what goes on with stalking and the dangers that it presents. We have with us right now our resident psychiatrist, Dr. John Stahlberg, who is also a lawyer. Dr. John Stahlberg, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you, and I'm a little... Let's say I'm very pleased to be in the presence of radio royalty.
Loyalty, too.
And believe it or not, I guess I'm aging myself, but I was in New York City when the Mafia brought in Alan Freed to play R&B. So that's so fun. I used to love DJs, so way back.
You're way older than I am.
Yeah, I know that.
Let me ask you something, Dr. John Stahlberg. You have a television show that's going to be on at 4 o'clock today called Dead on Arrival, and it's not your show, but of course you're commenting on it.
Right.
And it has to do with Rebecca Schaefer situation. Tell us what your involvement was.
My involvement was focusing on Bardo because the rest of the show focused on Rebecca Schaefer. Throughout the years, unfortunately, you know, we pay credit to the criminal, but we don't pay any heed or pay any attention to the poor victim. So that's what this show was. Her mother was interviewed. Interesting, I did note her father wasn't there. Friends were interviewed. Other stalking experts were interviewed. I was pointed out to me. I didn't notice. I was the only male. It took about 4 hours of interview, and I was on there for about 3 minutes commenting about Bardo. But I knew going in that that's what it was. It was going to be focusing on poor Rebecca Schaefer, a very sympathetic show, which it should have been, and what she could have not done to prevent it. And they left out the one thing that I told, and it was cut. Of course, a lot of stuff are cut. 4 hours to 3 minutes, you're going to get a lot of cutting. I said it's because the first time he showed up, she said, hey, don't come back.
Well, she gave him something, too, right? Didn't she give him something? Like, he asked for something, and she went up, and she gave him something.
No, false. That's
wrong?
No, never. No. She basically, her intercom was broken. That's what forced her to go to
right.
the door.
Right, right, right.
You know, you talk about a perfect storm, and then she was waiting for something.
Waiting for a script or something.
Right, and the next time he showed, she was meeting with Coppola later that day. And he was smart enough to wave an envelope. He got in the second time, but after walking around the block for an hour, calling his sister in Tennessee, saying, "I'm going to kill somebody, you're going to see me in the news," then he goes up the next time and, of course, killed her.
And, of course, he got the gun from, I believe it was in Arizona, but his brother bought it for him because the people who were trying to sell, he wanted to buy the gun from, wouldn't sell him a gun.
I think that's true. He got it from his brother in Tucson, Arizona.
And
there's a tour here. It's so morbid. It's called the Dearly Departed Tour.
It probably is.
Yeah, and they take you around to all the places, from the Tate murders to where everything horrible has happened in Hollywood.
Right.
And they stop by the little apartment that Rebecca Schaefer lived in.
Melrose and Fairfax.
Yes. Yeah. And they explain the whole story. And I swear they said maybe they have it wrong about she's handed him something and hopefully he would go away.
She gave him nothing.
No, yeah.
Did not.
Okay, that's good to know. And then he went to eat at a diner nearby.
I don't think he did that either.
Gosh, but, they make stuff up, don't they?
You know what? We got to bring an expert in here. we're talking about evidence, and we can't figure out what the correct evidence is. And we know that Robert Bernstein, of course, is a criminal defense attorney, one of the top in L.A., and he used to work as a prosecutor under U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, and he's been a frequent contributor to KBC 790, of course, KRLA, and other CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. Robert, welcome to Gervie's Law. And hello? Robert was dropped. He was waiting all this time.
Hello.
And he was dropped. No, that's John speaking.
I'm sorry.
You know what?
There he is.
He's back. Is Robert back?
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure.
Yes, we can.
Great. How are you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about this. You are now, you used to be a prosecutor, now you're defending. Tell us about what you're dealing with from a legal perspective with someone who's accused of stalking.
Well, stalking is actually a relatively new crime as it exists as a statute. As you were discussing earlier, it wasn't actually a crime until after the murder of Rebecca Schaefer. And there was another incident with an actress here in Los Angeles by the name of Teresa Saldana.
I was involved in that, by the way, Alan.
Oh, you were? You weren't the stalker, were you?
No, I testified for Arthur Jackson, who tried to kill her.
Mm.
Remember Jackson was pulled off of Saldana by a sparkless water delivery man who then got promoted to sheriff. But
Robert, go ahead.
Sorry for interrupting.
That's quite all right. So it was following these two incidents, and California was one of the first states in the nation to actually pass this law as a crime. And it was in, I think it was either 1990 or 1991. And they've enacted the statute now, and it can either be prosecuted as either a misdemeanor, which would be punishable by up to a year in county jail, or it can be actually prosecuted as a felony, which would be punishable by up to 5 years in state prison.
So when they talk about a wobbler, how, and again, you'll let us know what a wobbler is, a felony or a misdemeanor. How do they determine how they're prosecuting a stalker?
A wobbler means, in California, there's certain crimes that can be prosecuted either as a misdemeanor or a felony. And it's at the discretion of the district attorney or the prosecutor's office. But there's certain factors you look to in determining whether or not it should be prosecuted as a misdemeanor or a felony. For example, if the victim of the stalking in a particular case previously had a restraining order against the person that was stalking them, that automatically makes it a felony.
Mm.
Or if the person actually did not just threaten this person but actually injured them in some way, of course that also makes it a felony as well. But it is a discretion call with the prosecutor's office.
So in the case of Sandra Bullock, when this guy that ended up in her home with a gun and she had to lock herself in the room and call, he had done this before. I guess he was outside of her home before. What would that be? He had a gun. Isn't that intent?
Absolutely. That actually takes it well beyond stalking. That's actually a home invasion, residential burglary, and being armed with a weapon as additional penalties. So what happened with Sandra Bullock is called stalking, but it actually went well beyond stalking.
Mm.
He broke into her home and he was armed with a weapon, which carries even much more serious penalties than the crime of stalking.
What is the typical situation that you see, Robert, with stalking? Of course, we hear about ex-husbands and ex-wives. Is that something that is more prevalent than anything else in the stalking world?
Absolutely. You always see it with exes, whether it was a spouse, whether it was a bad relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever situation. I see that constantly. It's a bad breakup. And you see it more often. It has changed, though, in the recent year, as you were earlier talking about Facebook and social media. That has now added a new level to stalking that wasn't available before. In the past, you actually had to show up and follow somebody repeatedly in some way. Now it can all be done through social media. You can harass somebody through Facebook in that type of way without ever actually having to show up at their home or business or follow them in any way.
And how does it differ when you talk about cyber stalking versus actual physical stalking? As a defense attorney, and we're talking to Robert Bernstein here, as a defense counselor, how do you go about defending a person who's a cyber stalker versus, or I shouldn't say that, who has been alleged cyber stalker versus an actual or accused of actual stalking?
Yes, remember the presumption of innocence.
Of course. I may not be a criminal attorney, but I did take criminal law in law school.
Well, there's three elements to the crime of stalking that are required for it to be a stalking. The first is that you willfully either follow somebody or harass them in some manner. So it can be a physical following or it can be cyber stalking. So that doesn't make a difference either way. If you continually text somebody, send them messages through Facebook, or in any way harass them or follow them, that is the first element that's required for the crime of stalking.
Get my life insurance salesman. Thank you.
There you go. Well, here's where probably the difference with your life insurance salesman is the second element is that the person that is doing the stalking makes a credible threat against the victim. And then the third element or requirement of the crime is that you make that threat with the intent to make that person in reasonable fear for their safety. You don't actually have to want to carry out the crime, but if you say, I'm going to come into your house and stab you, that is a credible threat, and you say it with intent to make that person in fear, that is the crime of stalking, as it is under the statute.
Robert, now we're going to have Dr. Stahlberg put on his psychiatry hat after the break, so he's going to talk about the mentality and the psyche of the stalker, and then we'll check with you to see if that comports with what you deal with your clients or the people who are accused of stalking. Stay with us. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. Our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com
859-428-1000
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com
859-428-1000
859-428-1000
DINOVITE.com
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And I am Alan Gervie, and you are listening to Gervie's Law, and I'm speaking with Robert Bernstein, who is on the line, and we have in studio Dr. John Stahlberg. Carrie, you were talking during the break about that obsessive...
The need to have to keep going and doesn't know when to stop. And you see a lot of people like that, doctor, that have already been, I guess they're already been charged and they're on the stand.
Well, not the stand, but they're incarcerated, most of them. Right. Correct.
And
somebody thinks they have a serious mental problem, either the judge or their own attorney, and he's requesting a psych evaluation. Correct.
And what do you do exactly in a psych evaluation? And aren't some of these people smart enough to get past them?
Can I be fooled? I have many, many techniques. I've been doing this for a while. I like to think not, but anything's possible. Psychiatric evaluation, you take a history, and you have to say why you're there. I've learned to say lately, why are you here? I like to start out, and it works with all criminals, psychopaths or psychotics. What do the police say you did? and they like that better. But they will talk willingly. You just have to be quiet and let them speak, and they will tell you why they're in jail and how they happen to be there, how they happen to get mistreated, and they will give you all sorts of documentation if they're allowed to. So I say allowed to by the sheriffs, who don't allow passage of information, paperwork at the jail. And eventually it comes out that they do have a mental history. The ones I see are usually delusional. For example, nobody even knows that the gentleman came to see to murder Michael Landon, the Bonanza little
yeah,
Joe, right?
Yeah.
But he never got past the guards, and we never read about it because he killed two people on the way out from the East Coast. So a lot of
Robin Roberts, if you remember that, just in the last month,
right.
Troy Warren went to the studio of Good Morning America 8 times to the studio and finally got frustrated and said, when I see her, I'm going to punch her in the face.
And the ones I see are usually angry. Or, as I think Leonardo DiCaprio recently said, that some lady was delusionally had his baby and delusionally thought he was wife. I saw the individual in county jail who delusionally thought he was Meg Ryan's husband.
Wow. Well, I mean,
he was so out of it, he broke into the next door house. He broke into the wrong house.
Robert, let me ask you this, and we're talking about Robert Bernstein, defense counsel. When you speak to some of your clients, do you have to be a psychiatrist to try and figure out what's going on in their head?
Sometimes you do, but you'd be surprised. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of times in these situations people that are delusional and believe that they're the husband or wife of a celebrity. It's often somebody that's just very distraught after a breakup, and they may have some type of obsessive-compulsive disorder, and they can't stop, they can't let go. So often, one of the first things I do is get a psychiatrist, like your guest, to do an evaluation so that I can understand what's happening with my client themselves. Do they understand what they're doing, and can they stop that behavior?
You know, another thing I want to talk about is that not all of the accusations, of course, are accurate. And when you do your interview, Robert, I'm sure you find out that sometimes what is being said about the person who is in your office is dead wrong. And that's where defenses come in. That's where the defenses come in. And people don't understand. Just because you've been accused of stalking doesn't mean you're a stalker.
Actually, stalking has now become one of the most falsely accused crime. It's become so popular in the general media that I've seen bad breakups where somebody viciously and falsely accuses somebody of this crime.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, I want to just talk to Alan.
Can I mention, Alan, one of the many of the stalking cases that Bob was talking about don't make the news. But terrible, terrible stalking and let's say anger at a spouse, and I'm sure Bob has seen this, is the husband comes in and says, I'll get the thing that most upsets the wife, and he kills two or three of the kids. We see that a lot, unfortunately.
Man.
That's horrible.
That's a terrible crime.
No. And now we're going to talk to Alice. You're calling from Wilmington. Welcome to Gervie's Law, Alice.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Not too well.
Not too well. Well, let's hear what's going on with you.
Okay. We need to find out the legal term for what it is. We've got a situation where we live is that a neighbor has a hidden camera in his house, and it is faced towards our bedroom, and we have two large windows in our bedroom, and we're keeping them closed, and it's also covering our yard. Now, we have a witness, and he has been over there, and he has seen our home and his home on the computer. Now, this guy has been on the computer day after day after day saying that he hates African Americans, he hates Jews, which he thinks I am, and he hates just about everyone in his neighborhood. He has admitted being jihad, but the only thing we're concerned about right now is one of our neighbors has a TRO against him, and we need to find out, because the cameras are facing my home and his home, is this an invasion of privacy?
You know what, I'm going to turn this one over to Robert, defense counsel. Robert, what do you think? I have a few ideas, but I want to hear from the expert.
Well, you certainly would want to get a restraining order. If this person has made any type of threat against you, you certainly want to get a restraining order. That is actually a civil action.
But you can't video inside somebody's home.
You can't, however, if it's in plain view. meaning that if I was walking down the street and I was able to look into your window without taking any special efforts, that, unfortunately, is not a crime.
Okay, that's plain view. I got you. You don't have any curtains or blinds. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if they're making any effort to get around that to see what would be considered a private area, that is a crime under California law.
So what would you suggest to Alice? I mean, we talk about restraining orders, and we haven't talked about that yet, but with stalking, of course, that's got to be the first step. But what else? Because, again, in her situation, it's not clear that there's been any imminent threat, although it sounds really nauseating, but I don't know if there's an imminent threat that would require or that would allow for a restraining order.
It may not rise to the level for that, but you should definitely contact the police in the area. The police should definitely make a call to this person directly to their home, let them know that neighbors are concerned, and let the police get involved. Don't be afraid to get the police and law enforcement involved in this situation before it escalates to a point that something happens dangerous.
Department, and they told us there was nothing they can do. He wasn't doing anything. Now, he put the cameras, and if you walk by, you can't see the camera, but I noticed it because he's got white white shutters, and we spotted the camera, and we have, so far we've seen three. Now, he's got it. He wanted us to see it. And this guy has been on the web every single day telling us he's going to do things. He's going to poison our dog. He's going to do things to the neighbors.
Well, that's threats, and you should get a lawyer. Have you talked to a lawyer?
Absolutely. That is a crime. Also,
we've talked to a lawyer, and, you know, they, in here in California, from what I read, that it is against the law to have a camera on your private, especially your bedroom and your bathroom, which ours is, and especially in our yard. We have no privacy whatsoever, and he's making all these threatening statements on the web. Just like I say, this guy has gone jihad.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me just say something. Alice, you've got to start, and I hope you're doing this, taking screenshots of everything that he's done, print them out, take pictures of the cameras that are set up there, go to a lawyer. Guess what? You're probably going to get it on contingency if he's really that bad. You're not going to have to pay. You're going to win. So, I mean, this seems like a hands down, and I'm not a lawyer here, but...
How are you going to get that on contingency if it's a criminal case versus a civil case?
No. Well, look.
The police have refused to do anything,
exactly.
Alice?
So...
Alice, if the police are refusing to do anything, do exactly what Kerry said. Get all the evidence, screenshots, any emails, anything like that, and go directly to the district attorney's office if the police are not willing to do anything.
That's right.
There you go.
We've already been to court to get a TRO, and we lost. He swayed the judge his way, and he's just saying that I'm just a real good guy. Well, this guy is also a teacher in the Los Angeles area, and it's pretty, I mean, he's doing this from school. He's either using his phone or he's using the school computers to do this.
All right, well, let me break in here because this happens in my practice a lot, and basically I have to tell you that it's all about evidence. And, you know, we represent injured workers, and we represent a lot of teachers who have been injured, and it's always about evidence. If you don't have sufficient evidence, you're not going to prevail. And what Kerry said and what Robert has said and what John has said, everyone has said the same thing, and it's collect the evidence, and if you don't prevail in court, well, that's the legal system. All you can do is the best you can do. Alice, thanks for calling, and we wish you good luck with your situation. Kerry, you know, I see what you're saying, and everyone has to understand out there that you have to get the evidence and do it legally. You can't do it illegally. Is that right, Robert?
Absolutely. If you do it illegally, you're going to end up invalidating any evidence you collect.
John, what do you think about the situation where you have these people and they may be a little bit off their rocker? How do you deal with that if you're being stalked?
You mean which one's off the rocker? The
stalker.
Yeah, the stalker's off the rocker. What do you do?
Again, and as people should be aware, temporary restraining orders sound good, but if a guy is not going to be stopped by the penal code prohibiting murder or attack, he's not going to be stopped by a temporary restraining order.
Okay, there you go. That's from the psychiatrist. When is the show on, John? Dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival. Today at 4 o'clock. Can I give the channels real
Absolutely.
Quick?
Absolutely. Go quick.
DirecTV 285, Dish 192, Time Warner 221, AT&T Uverse 260, and ID Verizon 6:23. Very interesting show. Very sympathetic, sad show. But people can learn everything. And Rebecca.
Everyone needs to tune in.
Rebecca Schaefer gets attention.
You need to learn more about stalking. We need to fight this in the future. Robert Bernstein, thanks for being on Gervie's Lawn. Thanks for doing all the great work you're doing, helping people who are wrongly accused or defending them, and making sure that people are educated about this subject.
Thank you for having me.
All righty, Carrie. That's going to do it for another Saturday. Looks like we can watch the end of the USC-Stanford game. Thanks for watching.